We get a little further down in chapter 29, and I thought we can't just jump into 2 Chronicles without again remembering King David. I love King David. He was a hot mess at times, but man, that just makes me love him a little more. And God loved him, and he was a man after God's heart. And so I think it's appropriate for us to just take a minute and read this little passage. It says, the death of David in chapter 29, verse 26. It says, David, son of Jesse, was king over all Israel. He ruled over Israel 40 years, 7 in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. He died at a good old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. His son Solomon succeeded him as king. It's going to be exciting. We're going to get to meet David one day. I think that's going to be fun. Now, before we read this word in 2 Chronicles 1, can we just pray? Well, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day, Lord. I thank you for this gracious congregation, Lord. I should have no reason to be nervous. I know these people love me, Lord, and I surely love them. And so I pray, Lord, that you come and you calm my heart down, Lord, and you give peace to this and you breathe on this and you have your way. There is something here, Lord, that you gave me that you have for us. And so I pray, Lord, that we receive it, that you give us an open heart to be reminded of something that you want to remind us of. We just praise you for this day, Lord. We ask you are glorified in us as we go forward, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, so we're going to start with verse 1. I'm going to mispronounce some stuff. Just bear with me. We're going to go through verse 13 or 12. Solomon, son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom. For the Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. God made him exceedingly great. Then Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, to the judges and to all the leaders in Israel, the heads of families. And Solomon and the whole assembly went to the high place at Gibeon, for God's tent of meeting was there, which Moses, the Lord's servant, had made in the desert. Now David had brought up the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim to the place he had prepared for it, because he had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. But the bronze altar that Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made was in Gibeon, from in front of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Solomon and the assembly inquired of him there. They inquired of the Lord there. Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord in the tent of meeting, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. That is some truckloads of burnt offerings. You know they sacrifice animals. What in the world? That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered God, and he said, "You have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in this place. And now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth." That's a lot of people. "Give me wisdom and knowledge." This is what he asks. "Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" And God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth and riches or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you. And I will give you great wealth, riches, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will ever have." What in the world? Solomon recognized early on, this was established by the Lord. that God is the one who established him as king, that God is the one who put him on the throne. And that man could have asked for anything in that moment, but he chose the right things, and God blessed him. God wasn't just pleased with what Solomon asked for. God was pleased for what he didn't ask for. Solomon is faced with this big job, this big task of governing these people, leading these people that God so loves. And that is a big job. He asked for wisdom and knowledge. The dictionary definition of knowledge is facts and information and skills acquired by a person through education, the theoretical or practical understanding of a subject. And wisdom in the dictionary is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. In other words, he wanted to know all the he wanted to have all the things he needed. He wanted all the information, and then he wanted to know what to do with it. He wanted to know how to lead well. Yes, I hear the information. I hear what's going on, but now I want to judge wisely in these situations. And it's evident in his life that God did bless him, and he was able to judge wisely. And you read through the Proverbs and Psalms and the different things that, and there's a lot of wisdom there. We can have a lot of information in our heads, right? But sometimes we don't use it wisely. Or is that just me? Okay. Solomon wanted a wise and discerning heart. That's how Kings puts it. He wanted a wise and discerning heart so that he could lead the people. God answered his request. He gave him the desire of his heart, and then he blessed him above his wildest dreams. He gave him wisdom. He gave him knowledge. He gave him wealth. He gave him riches, honor, and that was unlike any other person ever had. God blessed him indeed. You guys remember the prayer of Jabez Skipper was talking about? The beginning, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. The Lord blessed him indeed. The Lord was pleased that he didn't ask. Lord, you know, he could have said, Lord, just, you know, this is going to be a tough job. Can you give me all the pleasure that I can handle so that I can endure? He could have said, Lord, listen, a lot of stuff's going to go on. I want to just live through it. I want to live through it. He could have said, Lord, kill my enemies. How many of you guys were like, listen, you have some enemies in your life, and it would just be easier, not that you will them to die, but it would be easier if they just were not here anymore to cause you pain. I have got some people. Sadly, they're relatives. And you just think, listen, I love you in Jesus' name, but I don't like you at all, and I would rather you lived on the moon. Please. Keep your heart right and your mouth shut, Amanda. Okay. He could have asked God for so many things. He could have asked God for the great wealth. He could have asked him for anything. And instead, he asked him for knowledge and wisdom. And God knows better than to just like hear your words. God's listening to his heart. He knew that the heart of Solomon was, I want to lead well. For your glory, you have established me. I want to lead well, and I cannot do it without you. I need your wisdom. I need your knowledge. I need to know things I don't know. I was telling the ladies at the retreat, I think I was telling some of them, I don't remember all the things. So much comes out of my mouth sometimes, we have no idea. But I remember this thing where Beth Moore was getting ready to go on a trip to go speak to a bunch of ministry leaders after 9/11. And they're in devastation. And they're like, how do we now lead these people? Our hearts are broken. Their hearts are broken. And Beth said she was on the airplane, one of the first flights that was able to fly out. And she said that she had her Bible and she had a notepad and she had nothing to say. And she said she prayed, Lord, I could pull something if I had it, but I don't have a file for this. And she said that the Lord just quickened her heart. And he said, I do. Holy Spirit is so kind. He's so kind. We can know things we don't know because of him. You know, Dave, in our Bible study class on spiritual warfare, he had been going through some training and learning to pray. Isn't that a good thing to do, to learn to pray? And he was learning to pray, and he said that there was this this activity that they did where they broke up into groups, and then they would just take some time and be quiet, and they would pray, and then they would wait for the Lord to give them something to pray for. I mean, how many of us wait on the Lord like that? I know some of you probably definitely do. But man, in our society where we need it now, we don't take time to wait on the Lord. And you wait on the Lord and you hear from the Lord and the Lord gives you something to pray for. And then you think, did you just read my journal? Get out of my head. That's the Holy Spirit. He can give us things we don't have when we ask him. When we come with a heart that is surrendered to him, he wants to speak to us. He wants to speak through us. He wants to bless us. And we think, well, not me. He wants to bless them. He doesn't want to bless me. He'll speak to Irene. She spends more time in the word. He's not going to talk to me. He's not going to spend time with me. And that is a lie. God loves you. You're his kid. I mean, think about you moms. I know Jess, she's got a little herd of beautiful babies. These are all these little kids, and then also the minimas. I mean, you guys are the ones I'm looking at, but you have all these precious little humans that you are, like, responsible for their livelihood. They are, like, they're babies, okay? But when they come to you, and you have a moment to think about what it is their need is going to be, you love them. You want to give your attention to them. You want to listen to them. You want to help them. You want to provide for them. If something is hurting them, you want to fix it. You want to help. And how much more does God want to hear from us and want to help us and want to listen to us? We are faced with situations that are out of our pay grade. We are faced with situations that we can't handle on our own. And we have direct access because of the blood of Jesus to go to God and ask him, Lord, give me a discerning heart. This, I need to have understanding in this. I have to go have this conversation. I have to go step into this thing. And I don't know what to do, but I know that you can help me. You can give me some peace about this. You can lead me. And I am giving you permission. I'm asking you, please, Lord, lead me. Help me. He will. And sometimes the answer doesn't come as quickly as we think it should, but we need to wait on him. We need to press into him. We need to say, it's okay to just have some quiet. It's okay to not take a step. And sometimes you have to make a decision like that, especially when you have kids. But in life, sometimes you're like, no, I have to make the decision now. And being indecisive is just annoying. What do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? I don't know. Oh, that's gross. I don't want to eat that. You know, that's like what we do. What's for dinner? I don't know. What sounds good? Nothing. Okay, well, go eat the grass. I don't know what to tell you. We struggle, and so that's not good. We don't want to be indecisive, and we don't want to be those people who are like, I'm not going to take a step because it might be the wrong step, and then what's going to happen? You step out in faith and confidence. You read what God says, and if it lines up with what he will honor and bless, then step into the thing. And we have that promise that he'll work it all together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He's not going to allow something that he can't work together for good, okay? And he is going to be so gracious with us when we misstep. I love that about him. I'm desperate for that. I need that. If we surrender our hearts to God, we can go to him and ask him anything because of Jesus, the same God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the Holy Spirit power that lives inside of us. We read some of this stuff in the Bible and we think, man, that took some power. That was amazing. But what God doesn't do stuff like that in my life? Well, you're walking around and you're breathing, okay? That's the number one. Thank you, Jesus. And if you can understand any bit of what this word of God says when you read your Bible, that's the Holy Spirit. You can just thank him for that. And then just press in and keep growing and getting close to him. I was thinking about this, like, man, wouldn't it be great to be Solomon? To be able to have God say, hey, Amanda, I know you want a lot of things. I know you need a lot of things. Ask me. Ask me. What? And then I found out, oh, he already said that to me. He already said that to me. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Knock and it will be open to you. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. we can look at some of these people and think, man, they were so close to God. They got to walk with him and talk with him. They did not have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. They did not have the blood of Jesus cleansing them from all unrighteousness. And they were not walking in the blessing that we're walking in. We have the new covenant. We have the new promise. It's a completed work. It's a done deal. And we're the ones who get to live in that glory. We're the ones who get to live in that bliss. And it doesn't mean that life is easy. Life is not easy. It wasn't for Solomon. It wasn't for his dad. It wasn't, and it's not going to be for us. But we have a blessed assurance and a hope that one day all this broken is going to be made brand spanking new. All of the broken in your family, all of the broken in my family, all of the broken in your heart and all of the broken in my heart, God is going to make it brand new. Sometimes I look at families. I know I have some friends that have some issues. Lord, be with them, whatever's going on there in Jesus' name. But sometimes we look at people in their lives, and do you guys have people in your lives whose marriages are kind of difficult? Nobody in here, I know. But marriage is, I've heard, because, you know, single, bachelor till the rapture, whatever that is. But I know that it's difficult. I have parents, hello. It's difficult. The struggle is real, okay? And we have to not give up. We have to hold on. And God will be faithful. And what I love is that God doesn't just say, you know what, that's a broken thing and I'm gonna fix it. I'm gonna just fix it. I'm gonna put a bandage here and I'm gonna put a bandage there. God says, I will make it brand new. Brand new, brand new. I would press until you get the brand new. If you are walking in a broken marriage, press until you get a brand new. Because if you don't, and you don't allow God to do that work in you, then what's going to happen is something's going to start to leak over here. And then it's going to come leaking over here. And you're going to bring up all the stuff and all the garbage. And man, we were doing so well for a while, but then something happened. And now we got struggle and pain and strife. And we're hanging on by a thread again. Let's trust that if God doesn't do it here, he will do it there. He is making all things new. You believe that for yourself. You believe that for your family members, for your neighbors, for your friends. I think the hardest one to believe that for is your own self, though. Believe it for your own self. The issue is not, is that me? The issue is not if we will receive what we ask for. The issue is if we are going to ask at all. We tend to doubt God. Oh, good night. Excuse me. What in the world? We tend to doubt God. I'm just going to skip that part. Obviously, I'm not supposed to say that little section. Woo! Sometimes I think we step into things prematurely because we want what we want when we want it. I'm talking like financial decisions and relationship stuff. Man, and then we find ourselves in a big pit and we're like, well, why isn't God blessing this? I thought he would just forgive that little thing over there. I don't know why he's not blessing it. A lot of times we don't even engage him. We don't even ask him what he thinks. And we think we need like some big divine angel to come into our room and speak what we're supposed to be doing, and then we'll know the direction we're supposed to have. That's not how this is going to work, friends. That's not. I mean, if that happens, you do let us know. Please let us know. We should always, as Christians, be those who know to seek God first. The opinions of man are wonderful, right? But they are fickle, and they will not stand up, and they change with the wind. And so we have to go to God. We have to go to one who is unchanging, who is not going to lie to us. He's not going to play games with your heart. He's not going to mess around with you. He loves us. James tells us that if any of us lacks wisdom, we can ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. We need to go ask him, believe him, and ask him for wisdom. The Bible is where we go for this wisdom. We think, oh, Lord, well, you never talk to me. Well, do you ever open your Bible? Because when you open your Bible, he's talking to you all day long. And you think, oh, well, that's boring. I'm not getting anything from this. Turn the page, okay? Get a translation that you can understand. And one thing that that I loved, and I have it here somewhere in these notes. I don't even know where it's at. I might repeat it. But I love that we just went through Easter and all of that whole season. Such a beautiful season. But the thing is that stuck out to me was when Jesus has risen from the grave. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's walking around with his disciples. And then they're like, is that Jesus or is that not Jesus? And he'll pop in here and then he'll leave and the door's still closed. And like, you know, it's this whole big thing. And then the next thing you know, he's like cooking them breakfast on the beach and whatever. Well, anyways, the part that sticks out to me is they're walking along. And then the Bible says that God opened their mind so they could understand the scriptures. We can pray for God to open our minds and understand the scriptures. He'll do it. And then you just keep pressing in. Start with the translation that makes sense and make it a discipline and do it a little here and a little, and then it will build up. And you can also pray for God to give you a love for his word, to give you a love. We want to love our enemies. We want to love. Let's love his word. Let's let his word fill us so that we know what he thinks about a thing. And if nothing else, we'll know his heart, we'll know his character, we'll know his nature, we'll have a better understanding of how. And the more we get to know him in his word, the more he starts to make us look like him and sound like him. And then we'll be able to discern situations because we have so much of him in us. I mean, don't we want that? I know many of you guys have that, 100%, I believe that. And glory to glory and grace to grace, but let's keep that as our goal. We're not living in the Old Testament. We're living in the New Testament. But we need that Old Testament. That makes so many things clear to us in the New Testament. We love King David and we love King Solomon. But man, nothing compares to Jesus. Nobody will ever compare to Jesus. He is the perfect king. Second Peter 1:3 tells us that God's divine power has given everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need for life and godliness. We have access to that. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go get a bunch of degrees. You don't have to, you know, read the whole Bible, memorize every bit of it, and then, you know, have all the worship songs memorized, and then you're going to know what you need for life and godliness. God has given us all that we need. So let's be those that, like Solomon, we seek God, we ask him for discerning hearts, but let's also keep our eyes on Jesus. Solomon was far from perfect, but so are we. So are we. We can barely memorize some of the wise things that King Solomon said, let alone think them up. Right? They were inspired by God, who is the wise one. He is wisdom and he is full of grace. We can go to him in prayer and we can ask him for help. We can say, Lord, I want to know how to parent these kids. I need you to help me know how to parent these kids. I need you to help me know how to love this spouse that you have blessed me with. I need you to help me know how to lead this family. I need you to help me know, Lord God, how to love my neighbors and love my enemies. I need you to give me the information that I need, Lord God. Help me judge wisely. I don't want to step into that thing and say the wrong thing and do the wrong thing. We can go to God and he will help us. He will give us hearts that can discern, like, listen, that is not right. Don't step in that direction. He'll do that for you. He is your protector. He is your shepherd. You are a sheep. You know what sheep? They are prone to wander. Okay? You can scare sheep and they will die. They're needy little bunch of suckers, okay? I know Amy's going to get some goats, but man, sheep, Amy. We need a shepherd to protect us, to watch over us, to look after us. And he does it lovingly. Our shepherd loves. Solomon started his reign really great. You know, sometimes when you can't think of anything, you're like, well, what would I name the book if I was writing a book? Let's think of the title before you think that there's any content to go with it. And I was thinking the title of this would be Good Start, Wise Heart. Good Start. Good Start, Wise Heart. You had a good start. Asking for a wise heart. And then the hot mess just kind of reared its head. Israel needed a king who would not only understand the wisdom of God, like what was penned by Solomon and David, but who lived in accord with that wisdom till the very end. King David couldn't do it. King Solomon couldn't do it. The kings we set up in our own lives can't do it. King Jesus did it. Isaiah 11, 1 through 3 promised that this king would come. It says, a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, and the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, and the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge. Man looks at the outward appearance and does the best they can, and God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. In the New Testament, this promise was fulfilled in Jesus, and I praise him for it. He did the impossible. You could never do what he accomplished for you. And from the very beginning, it was planned, and it was established, and then it was fulfilled, and we get to live in the afterglow of that. Jesus was the son of David. Matthew 12:42, that says, one is coming who will be greater than Solomon. Jesus is the one greater than Solomon. God fulfilled his promises to David. He fulfilled his promises, and he will fulfill his promises to us. Do you even know what the promises of God are? Have you ever personalized the promises that God gave to us in his word? Go through the Bible and just look up some of the promises and say, God, will you really do that? Trust that he will. Trust that he sees you, that he loves you, that he was faithful to Adam and Eve. He's faithful to King David. He was faithful to Solomon. He will always be faithful, whether we are. And he keeps his promises. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. Even though David failed and his sons failed, God remained merciful and faithful to his promises that a Messiah, who was a descendant of David, would come and establish an eternal kingdom on earth, and he did. Jesus is our King, and one day he is coming back again, and he is going to reign, and he is going to rule forevermore. The encouragement today for us is to seek him while he may be found, to go after him, to ask him for a discerning heart, to ask him to give us wisdom, to give us understanding, and then to realize that we have access to that by opening the Word of God. Our promise-keeping God never changes. That is what I have for you this morning, church. I love you. But you know what? I wanted to end with a song, because that's how I do. But this is kind of a different kind of a song. This is sort of a, I'm not sure what exactly it's called. It's like an oral, I'm sure there's a word for it, Amy, that it mixes some spoken word with some song. And this is a new song that some of you may have heard it and some of you may never have heard it. It's kind of, it's an 11-minute song. You're going to love it. It's written by Kathy Lee Gifford and Nicole C. Mullen. It's called The God Who Sees. I know you hear Kathy Lee Gifford and you're like, where's Regis? But that's not the what we're dealing with here. This song is beautiful, and they filmed, there's a music video that you could watch where she's singing and acting it out, but it wasn't as impactful as just listening to it. And so we're going to listen to this song, and I think that it's a good way to conclude the fact that we have just closed out all of the reminders about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the faithfulness of God to his people, the establishing of all of the early stuff, and all of the people that walked with him and were faithful to him. And it's a reminder to us that God does see us. He does see us. And he does work things out according to his will for our good and his glory. And so that is how we are going to close. We're going to close with this song, and then we have ice cream for fellowship snacks, Mother's Day. All right. Philip's going to play it. The words are kind of small.
A single mother. She was abandoned by the family she belonged to. And there in the wilderness with her son, alone, with very little provision, she was wondering. She was questioning. Does anyone care? She's crying, man. The desert. She's lost in her despair. She thinks nobody loves her. Hagar thinks nobody's there. But God says, she had heard an inner invitation to come and taste and see. And so she vowed herself to her mother-in-law and said, where you go, I will go. Where you lie, I will lie. Where you die, I will die. And she begins a journey to the promised land. She's traveling through the desert. And he says, I And then, from Ruth, who gave birth to a son, Obed, who gave birth to a son, Jesse, who gave birth to a son named David. Now this same once shepherd boy, mighty warrior, anointed king, is alone, terrified, in the darkness. He's hiding in the desert. He's battling despair. David thinks his life is over. It's over. And God, he doesn't care. But God says, his body in the tomb, in that